This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Mino Studio is a pre- and post-production facility for all of your audio needs. Mino Studio's founder is an accredited audio engineer with top 40 and indie album credits. With over 30 years of music industry experience, Mino Studio can take your podcast from idea to reality. Contact Mino Studio at MinoStudio777@gmail.com for more information. That's Mino Studio spelled M-E-N-O, MinoStudio777@gmail.com. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs. And welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show,
where we have episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is a 1,000 by 2,000 goal update. And specifically, I'll be talking about the Indiana property that I purchased in May. Now, as you may know, or may not know, I purchased a 22-unit apartment in Indianapolis in May, and it was a big leap because I went from six doors at that time, to 22. And it was one of those big leaps of faith that you just take and hope that everything works out for the best. But, you know, there was a lot of research and certainly a lot of due diligence that I had to do before I purchased that property. In order to get that property, what I did is I leveraged the six units that I had, which really consisted of a single-family home in Atlanta, a duplex, and another single-family home in Memphis. These three properties I owned straight out. I paid cash for them. So I did a cash-out refi on those properties to get the down payment required for the 22-unit. Fortunately, all three properties had increased in value in just a short period of time, a little more than a year since I owned the properties, and there was plenty of equity in there. Not only did I get the $90,000 down payment that I required, but it also had an additional $60,000 in there that I would use for rehab of the unit. I want to give just a little update on sort of what lessons I learned in this process. The first thing that was a little bit of a surprise here was that it was difficult to get a loan for the apartment, at least a good loan. The property, I had negotiated the price out to $350,000, which, you know, coming from California, I don't think you could even buy a mobile home in California for that amount. So it was really, I thought, a very good price. And but the problem was is trying to find the loan, and I went through a number of different sources, went through a real long period of time with Wells Fargo. They thought they would be able to not only do that refi that I was looking to do, but then they could also do the loan on the property for the other 80%. And I went through, oh gosh, it's probably close to a 6-month application process, and only to find out that they just didn't feel that it was strong enough for me to do that. One of the drawbacks for that particular loan was that I didn't have W-2 income. All of my income is 1099 at this point. Not having the W-2 income was an important factor. Now, it's one of those things that they knew about in the beginning. I don't know why I had to wait so long in that process to go through that. I was applying for the loan before I actually even had the property under contract. Fortunately for me, that didn't tie up the property too much. But when that loan was turned down, I had to start really hustling because I didn't have a lot of time. I was under contract at that point. There were a few factors that affected any kind of loan that I got at that point, one of which was the fact that I was inexperienced owning and managing a property of this size. I had the other properties, which were smaller, and the fact that I was a sort of a newbie here on the larger apartment, that delayed some of the process in trying to get a good loan. Now, what I did is I put together a business plan when I submitted my papers for the loan, in addition to the papers they required. And in that business plan, I talked about, you know, why the plan would work. I went into a lot of great detail on how I was going to improve the value and the profitability of this property. Even in that plan, I included my mentor, who has extensive experience with apartment purchases, even though he didn't have an equity position in the deal. Some of the banks were reluctant in that regard. Another drawback was the deal was too low in value. At $350,000, commercial loans available were not that great a rate. If I was at a $500,000 or more, it would have been a little bit better. If I was a million or more in terms of purchase price, I would have got a super rate. Those were sort of key factors. So the rate I got was not that great. There were points involved. It was an expensive loan. But, you know, as I worked my numbers, it still looked like it would have been a good value. Now, my goal going into this was to increase the value of the property with what's called a value add play. And there were certain things I was going to do with this property, which was not really well managed. There was a higher vacancy rate in the property. Rents were below market. There were a lot of factors. So when I came into it, I knew that there were certain things that I could do to improve the value of that apartment. Basically, what they look at is factors such as this is being looked at more as a business more than anything else. And so they look at it as a business. How much profit will it generate? Is it a good investment? Does it look like it's got longevity? So these are the things that my business plan had to demonstrate that would show that it did have that value. So the primary things that I put together for this property is that I would use the funds that I had to upgrade and increase the value of the property. And in that, I would upgrade the common areas, the hallways. It's a 1925 building. It was built in 1925, so we did a lot to kind of bring back the old, you know, historical look of the property. It's sort of a retro view. It makes it really appealing. This is the type of property a lot of people will see. It's got great visibility on a street that gets a fair amount of traffic. And so I wanted it to look appealing from the outside. We did a number of different things. We put some nice awnings on it, replaced the old junky sign that the building had with a really classy sign with a little landscaping around the sign. So we did a number of things on the exterior. Also, we needed to upgrade the electrical. That was one of the key factors. A lot of people had gas stoves, and landlord pays for gas. So we upgraded the electrical so we could put electrical stoves in the units, which would reduce the landlord costs. We upgraded each unit, revised kitchen and tile and bathrooms and so forth to upgrade the value there. With that, the rents would increase, and the plan was initially 6%, then a year later, another 6% increase. But property management team that I hired actually was able to get 12% increase out of most of the residents. And then the units that became available that we were rehabbing, and we were able to get the full 12% increase of the new rate, which is more in line with what the market is. And then the final move was by instituting a what's called a RUBS program, which means that the remaining utilities that are paid by the landlord would be shared by the tenants. So there would be an increase there, a flat amount that the tenants would pay each month that would cover the utilities. So overall, what you have there is a significant increase in value because the profitability of the unit increased quite a bit. So that's really the strategy and the plan that we're in the midst of right now. We are rehabbing the property as we speak here. Some folks chose to move out because of the rent increase, but a very small percentage of the folks as those units became available, we were able to upgrade them, and we're bringing in people that are paying the full market price at this time. So it's a significant play. And what I hope to do is within a year's time to be able to refinance the property. We feel pretty confident that the price could potentially within a year or two double in value. And that would allow us to cash out on this, get funds to pay off the initial loan that I got for the down payment, the cash out refi, and just have one loan on the property itself. And because the loan will probably be over $500,000, it'll be at a better rate and ultimately be a better move for us in terms of the value of the property and what we will continue to do with that as it increases in value and remains a profitable property. Well, that's it for today. I just wanted to give you a quick update on what we're doing in Indianapolis on our 22 unit there. Please note that, you know, everything I'm talking about here, there will be included in the show notes on this episode, and you'll be able to take a look at those items there. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.